Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, I got a question for you.
Yo, what it do? Boom.
Are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness?
Bro, I think I found it.
Yeah, well, allow me to introduce you to Fight Camp, an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teaching proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knock out achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country or across the living room. One of the best things about Fight Camp is that it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what your fitness level is, what your age is, or what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. And you're going to have a great time. How do you think you'd rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard? Do you think you'd be in first place? You used to box, right, Conan?
I don't know if I'd be in first place. I'm not in that type of shape, but it's gotten me into great shape. It's getting me into great shape.
Yeah, so join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start at just $99. They even offer some great financing options and get started for as low as $9 a month. To get everything you need, go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN.
Have you or Joe received yours yet?
I haven't got mine yet.
Have you, Joe?
Yes, I have, actually, yeah. I have it set up right down here in the basement.
Tell people your experience and I'll tell them mine.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it doesn't take up much space. It's on a stand, so it's not, you don't have to hang anything from your ceiling. And you can go on and use all the different lessons and stuff. Like for me, I never had any boxing training, you know, so I was like, let me do this the right way. So I go on there, I've taken the beginner classes and moved on. It keeps your scores, it keeps your progress, it tracks everything, and you know, the trainers know what they're doing, and it's a lot of fun watching the different clips and competing. You compete against anyone you want. You compete against friends if they're on, people around the world, whatever. There's international leaderboards, and it's a great way to exercise. It's a lot of fun.
Right. The great thing about this thing is you can do it in your house. So you don't have to go to a gym, pay gym memberships, you know, change in the gym clothes, park. You know, sometimes you want to get a late workout in and you can't because the gym is closed. You know, or wait for people to put their weights back or whatever. This thing right here conditions you, it tones your arms, your legs, your stomach, everything, and it gives you cardio at the same time. And you can put it in your house and you can work out whenever you want. And the great thing is it has different programs. So if you want to work out for 15 minutes, you only got 15 minutes to work out, you get a 15-minute workout in. If you got an hour, you can get an hour workout in. It's great. I love it, and I'm glad that I purchased it, and it's helping me get into shape. Check out FightCap.com. Boom.
Well, we're doing the yearly holiday party here, but unfortunately, the host, Conan, is late to his own party.
Well, that figures.
Y'all ain't figured this time and shit out yet.
No.
Well, you should know, Shane. So we've been texting him for 2 days. He hasn't responded to a text or a call in 2 days. And he tries to tell us that he's too busy to like actually respond to a telephone text message. I want to talk about something that's been because this tweet got a lot of traction. Okay, Shane Helms tweeted that he took his family to go see Star Wars. And the quote was, everyone loved it. So I guess people did not know our gig from this show when you were on, whenever we do movie reviews. We always pull out Rotten Tomatoes. So I just tweeted, 57% is not everyone. So, Shay, did you see the responses to that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So I actually did another tweet where I continued to joke. And it said, everybody's like, oh, he's obviously talking about his family. And I said, yes, I'm saying that Shane is lying, that only 57% of his family actually enjoyed the movie. So people are still, like, all over this for, like, being, like, I guess it's kind of like the, I don't know, it's the Star Wars faction of fans that, like, don't want to hear anything bad about the movies and stuff. Is that another group here that, like, you can trigger on Twitter?
I don't even know what the hell he was asking.
Can you hear me now?
Basically,
oh, never mind. Well, how you been doing? Shane, how you been doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just actually recorded the episode of Highway to Helms that I'm going to send to JoJo in a minute.
Yeah.
Right?
Christmas episode.
That's it.
Let me ask you a question. What do you, give us all, for people that don't listen to you, that listen to this, what did this episode, like, what do you talk about?
So just remember when I used to be on Keeping It 100 and all the entertaining parts there, I just do that on my show now. I take out everything people hated about Keeping It 100, which is you, and I don't do that.
So you don't have me on. So you took that base of fans that don't like me, and then they're all just listening to Highway to Helms.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: how's your how you liking being on? Give me a week, a day in the week with your schedule like for WWE now. What's your weekly schedule usually?
Last week I didn't do shit. I got kidney stones.
Yeah,
I went to the hospital.
Right.
But normally, if I just do Raw, because they got the agents and producers split between Raw and SmackDown, so I'm a Raw guy. So I fly out Sunday night. I generally try to get there early so I can go work out. Then I'll do Raw on Monday, and I'll fly home Tuesday morning. Unless I have the house shows, you know, which it could be Saturday and Sunday. It could be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So on a short week, it's just I fly out Sunday, fly home Tuesday. On a long week, I'll fly out Friday. Fly home to.
And that's it. So you're not doing nothing to the performance center. You're home in North Carolina, just on the road as an agent, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So how do you like it?
I like it. I mean, there's a lot of stress involved. It's not, you know, it's different. It's not as fun as performing. You know, that's what I love to do. I love to actually be in there. But, you know, I mean, it's an adjustment, and it's still a bit of an adjustment, you know, because I didn't prepare an ending to my career. It just kind of was over, you know what I mean, as far as in-ring. And so I still want to be out there, and to make it worse, I got to go look at a ring every single week that I want to be in. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like being on a diet, and I'm staring at pizza all day long every single Monday.
Right. So, let me ask you this, because I know so when you were like you've obviously been an agent for years of your career. What's the difference in the way the business, the structure, the way you agent in and WWE compared to like the way it was structured in Impact? Because in Impact, you just, you know, I used to do. You have your match, you go get with the guys, you get they tell you what spots you got to go in the truck and tell the truck to, and then that's about it. Is it the exact same for WWE, or is there a different way you do this?
No, keep in mind a lot of the TNA stuff was taped.
Right.
You know, so when it's not live, you're not having to worry about commercial segments and what time that commercial is going to be over. With WWE, you know, you got all of that timed out. Then there's, you know, they're going to use They're going to do a backstage segment over here. They're going to plug something else over there. They're going to do a graphic for this, whatever the hell is coming up. They got a graphic for this pay-per-view coming up. And some of that's going to eat into your time. You know, so there's just a lot more that you're dealing with up there. You know, anytime it's not taped, there's so much less pressure.
Who wins?
And WWE does everything live now. They're very, I mean, hardly anything is taped except for the 205 live show. I think that's the only tape, and I guess the main event, but everything else is live. So, you know, the pressure's always on up there.
Who reads the show in the production meeting? Does Vince read it, or is it the person who wrote it read it?
No, one of the writers.
The head writer, or just one of the writers?
Yeah, the head writer writes.
How many writers? So, Raw. Okay, are all the writers in the, how many, give me a number. How many numbers of writers are there? We always hear writer, there's all these writers. What's the actual number? How many do they have?
I don't know.
more than 12? Or
it could be, because probably there's a team that, there's some that come on the road, there's a home team. You know, so there's a lot of people that are pitching ideas at all times.
When you do these matches and stuff, everything, who are the guys that you found that you like working, like you know, like that your philosophy on laying out a match jives with them? Like who have you clicked with, like talent wise as an agent so far?
Honestly, dude, I click with everybody. You know, I mean, I was one of those guys that, you know, I did all the styles. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, my problem with agents in the past were agents that didn't do my style because they didn't know it, they didn't get it. You know, I just had one of those careers where I did a little bit of everything, and I found success at doing a little bit of everything. So, you know, I kind of know what the guys are going through. So I don't have like any problems with anybody, you know. So there's certain guys, like I always get excited. Like I was excited whenever I worked with Cesaro, because I would come up with some crazy shit that I knew he could do. Andrade's a guy I know that, you know, he's going to come up with some good stuff. You know, guys that still have that fire and shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, Drew McIntyre is one. You know, there's quite a few guys that I look forward to having their matches.
Are the guys basically, you know, because I haven't been around agent in years. Is this crew, like this epic of this generation, are they still open to live under the learning tree, or a lot of them know-it-alls? Like, well, what would you say is the split was there? Like the percentage of guys that are kind of know-it-alls and the percentage of guys that are like open to still want to acquire knowledge and stuff?
I think it's the same as always. I think there's always been guys that wanted to learn, and there's always been guys that were know-it-alls. I think it's always been like that, and I think it's always going to be like that. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to attract just one mindset in that locker room. There's always going to be different guys, different personalities, and guys that succeed when they're young. Of course, those are going to be the guys that are going to be a little bit more overconfident, but that overconfidence generally comes from success, you know, so... you just got to navigate those waters on how to communicate with people. And that, you know, that isn't the easiest thing in the world for me, because I'm just kind of a straight shooter. But it's something that I'm learning and working on, because I wasn't always the easiest communicator either. You know, if somebody didn't like my idea, you know, back in the day, I was like, well, go fuck yourself. You know, now you got to be a little bit more diplomatic. I can't just tell people to go fuck themselves. But, you know, I stick with what I said. I think, you know, and I think a lot of our generation and generations before us, we glorify a lot of the things back in the day. You know, there was just as many assholes back then. There were just as much arrogance and problems back then. Now we got problems. They're just a little bit more different. They got a little different flavor, but it's the same shit.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, the guys like that, if social media was a big thing back when we were around, that you know, the guys that would have been getting in trouble on social media. It's like, that hasn't changed, right? Is there a lot of competition between you and SmackDown?
Not really. Like I don't feel it now like it was back in the day. Like back in the day when we had the brand split, I'm talking about, you know, 2005, 2006, there was a real big competition and animosity between Raw and SmackDown on what was the A show and what was the B show. We were very all competitive about it, but I don't feel that now. You know, I feel like, you know, it's all under that one umbrella. And like I say, because I'm looking at it from a different perspective now, I just want the shows to be good no matter what. So the guys in the locker room, they might be looking at it like that, and I can't speak for them. But for me, I don't see it like that anymore.
Hmm. Interesting.
But when I was out there, we did.
Really? I thought everybody was like, because that was something, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't think the brand split has worked like in the big picture. Okay, I just don't understand why they can't let you know. And it's too, because when Fox started wanting like all these guys and everything, that like it seems like they got pigeonholed into trying to break some of their own rules regarding the brand split just to get some guys on the shows back and forth. You know, so it's like, I don't know. I think that Fox wants SmackDown to be perceived as the number one show, but I still consider Raw to be the flagship show of professional wrestling. You know, so it's like, are there like discussions like in the production meeting and stuff like that on which guys should be on what shows and stuff, or is that like all just creative?
No, that's all just creative. Right. I mean, I think the way they got it now is the SmackDown guys, is at least for the last couple of weeks, is being more decisive. There was some stuff that was booked before the brand split was set in stone that had already been booked that we kind of had to do. And that was in terms of, you know, dark matches after Raw went off the air, or live events, you know, house shows sort of stuff that was booked months in advance. Now, that stuff they still had to fulfill. Once that's completely done, I think the hope is that it gets more definitive, that whoever's on SmackDown stays on SmackDown and whoever Raw stays on Raw. I think the only kind of thing they're playing with now is that managers, because managers don't have to be contracted to each show, that managers can fluctuate. And I don't hate that idea. I kind of like that idea. Why would a manager be under the same contract as a talent? So I don't hate that.
Right. Scott Boras has people in every sport. You know, it's like an agent manager, like that manages a bunch of people, right? That's like common sense, yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's why we had Sami Zayn on Raw.
Conan.
What up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use legacy subs, and let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using legacy subs, and they was very low, and then afterwards it did increase, so it does work.
Yeah, Test X9 works. And don't just take legacy subs' word for it. They show you how, with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. Test X9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with Test X9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test deck, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to legacysubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. And if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickey James, who developed and used these products themselves. LegacySubs.com. Level up with legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work, or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them and they work, and it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Subs. Boom.
Let me ask you this. You still itch to get in the ring, right? You still itch to be in the ring. Like, you know, you're still in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
You're still over. Are you scared to like go to them and say, or have you done it? Say, hey, I got an idea. If you want to get this kid over, like, give me 3 or 4 weeks or something. Like, this is an idea I have. Have you ever, like...
Yo, what's up, Shane?
Oh, there you are.
How you doing?
Oh, doing good, man. Doing good.
All right.
Yeah, Disco was breaking up a little bit, but I believe his question, and before if he comes back, he can ask it, but it was along the lines of, how bad is the itch that you get being around the ring and not being active at the moment, Shane?
I mean, it's there. I definitely want to get in there and, you know... I definitely miss a lot, and I think Disco was asking, have I suggested any storyline ideas to include myself? I haven't yet. But there's been things kind of mentioned to me, you know, but it would take more than a couple weeks to get me back in ring shape right now.
But Shane,
we need about 6 months.
What is it exactly that you're doing? Agenting?
Yeah.
That's what you do for SmackDown or for Raw or for both?
for Raw. For Raw, I mean Raw in pay-per-views. And
so you're there with Ray, right? Yeah. You're there with Ray?
Yeah, yeah.
Dominic?
Yeah, I work with Ray a lot.
Yeah. How about Kane?
Yeah, I mean, I think I only got to meet with him when we did the Saudi Arabia show.
Right. Really nice guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We all got drunk as hell on that plane on the way back, so he's a fun guy to get to know.
Yeah, a super cool dude. Let me ask you a question. I see did you go see, I think I might have seen you write about this. You went to see the last Star Wars?
Yeah, we were just talking about that a while ago.
Okay. How did you like it? How did you rank that with the other ones? Can you hear us?
I like Disco,
I think, is frozen again, which is probably.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Okay, go ahead, Shane.
I liked it better than The Last Jedi, which was the one before that.
Right.
I thought it kind of checked a lot of boxes. You know, it was my kids loved it. I loved it. You know, Karen loved it.
So, I disagree with that. I still say only 57% of your family loved it.
Of the four that win, 100% of them loved it.
No, I say only two to three tops liked it in between that and one person liked it convincingly. Two people not liked it convincingly, and one person was, you know, probably liked it.
I'm assuming you've seen all of them. The Shane?
Yeah.
Okay, is this supposed, because I saw, like, you know, I like Star Wars, but I'm not into the, like, and I don't say this disparagingly, into the geekdom that a lot of them are. Like, the other day I saw Cody write, like, Star Wars 1 through I don't know how many there have been, and, like, you know, which was the best one, and, like, all these things. Is this supposed to, like, close a chapter or something like that I was reading?
Yeah, it's supposed to be because, you know, I guess they come in threes, and so this was a third trilogy.
Right.
Some people are acting like there's never going to be another one. There's going to be more.
Right.
You know, this was just the end of a chapter. And I thought it was a good, solid ending.
Okay, explain to me all the hoopla about the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda.
I missed you guys, man. I hope you guys are doing good.
Well, I'm doing very good.
Anyway, the Mandalorian is good. Baby Yoda's still in the show, though. Without Baby Yoda, the show is fine.
It's a holiday show, by the way.
I mean, listen.
Christmas cheer.
Family. Everyone knows that at a family Christmas party, there's always somebody that has heat or somebody that fights. So.
Right. It's not a real family party until somebody's fighting.
All right, but what I don't understand, well, what is this supposed to be? Because I hear a lot of good comments from it.
With the Mandalorian, do you remember Boba Fett?
Yeah, no, and I don't.
He's a Mandalorian. That's his race or species or whatever. They all look like that with the helmet, but they're different colors. But this guy isn't Boba Fett. This is a different Mandalorian, and he goes on a bounty. And the bounty's for his little Baby Yoda gimmick. But when he keeps him, but then he doesn't want to, you know, turn him over to the bad guy. So now he's just keeping the Baby Yoda. And it's not necessarily Yoda. It could be just
like a race one of Yoda's, Yoda, right?
Yeah, like that. So we don't know exactly what Baby Yoda is. Right. But he's a cute little green big-eared motherfucker, and everybody loves him.
Right.
And he's really the big part of the show. Because the Mandalorian's pretty cool, but Baby Yoda's just kind of capturing everybody's heart right now.
But has he done anything? Like, does he have any special powers, or he's training to have powers,
yeah,
or just there being cute, like me? Thank you.
Nothing. Yeah, he's used the Force a couple of times, so he's got the Force is strong within him. So,
right.
So he's used it a couple of times, but they've been very judicious with it, you know, not overdoing it yet. But basically he's just there being cute.
Okay.
And he's had a couple of appearances by Gina Carano. If you remember her, MMA pioneer.
Oh, yeah.
MMA pioneer.
Right.
So she did really good in it. So, and Carl Weathers is in it. Oh. Apollo Creed. So.
Yeah, right. This is in Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other movies that you've seen?
Dude, I'm at home. Because now I got Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix. So yeah. I'm at home watching shows all the damn time now. So.
Okay, best TV series you can recommend for us.
Well, me, the best one I've seen recently is The Watchmen. But if you don't know The Watchmen, you're not going to like it as much as I did. I was just in love with The Watchmen. I always have been. So that's my pick. But before The Skywalker, I saw Joker, and I think Joker was probably the movie of the year.
Right, I like Joker
a lot. I did see The Irishman.
Right.
Did you like The Irishman?
I think you put that you were still watching it like 3 days later.
That motherfucker, yeah. That shit was long. It was good.
It was too long, bro. That ending was way too long, too.
And for that guy, Martin Scorsese, the way he shit all over Marvel, for him, he just do the same movie every time with the exact same cast every damn time. I think that's why he was so mad.
Hey, I got
to
add...
cinematic?
Oh, go ahead, Shane.
Right. Go ahead. What do you say, Joe?
I got to add Conrad, if that's all right.
All right. Hey, Shane, sorry for getting on late. As usual, miscommunications. I'm glad you heard me bury Disco.
What's up, man?
Conrad, say hi to Shane. Shane Huff is leaving us. We're doing the baton. You're passing the baton right now to the next guest for the Christmas
special. I like it. Thanks, guys.
Is Shane still on?
I heard a rumor that Conrad orders turkey omelets from the Waffle House. That's not true.
That is not true. That's rumor and innuendo.
But what would happen?
And supposition.
Why don't you tell the boys what would happen if somebody goes into Waffle House and orders a turkey omelet?
In Alabama, if somebody came into a Waffle House and tried to order a turkey omelet, they get their goddamn ass whipped for that shit around here. You can get ham, you can get bacon, you can get sausage. You know, we'll let you put jalapenos. You can go crazy in that thing. But if you ask for turkey, we're going to take you out back and whip the shit out of you.
I've never even heard of a turkey. Who's put turkey on an omelet before?
Stupid-ass Bruce Pritchard in Connecticut.
Does he really?
Yes. He's changed.
That's weird. Changed.
Yes. Vince McMahon, rub it off on him.
Shane.
All right, well, I'm going to tag out. You guys have a good time chatting with Conrad. I'll holler at you, everybody, later.
Shane, Merry Christmas to you and your beautiful family, my brother.
Merry Christmas.
All right, back at you guys.
Fuck this. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. We already had, this is our holiday show, Conrad. We've already had a shouting match between me and Conan for Conan's unprofessionalism. So we're the Christmas cheer here. How things going with you, man?
Well, everything's good, man. I'm looking forward to shouting at you, too. You know, just keep the tradition alive.
But let me ask you a question. What do you got in store for... I haven't seen any StarCast announced. When's the next StarCast coming up?
We don't have one planned right now. The next pay-per-view for AEW is in Chicago, but it's piggybacking the second or third biggest comic book convention or Comic-Con style convention in the country, C2E2. So they're going to be a part of C2E2 and then do that show, and I think their next pay-per-view will be Double or Nothing in Vegas, but I don't have anything on the books for that one. After that, you know, if we're following along with what they did last year, you would think Labor Day in Chicago, they'd be back at Sears Center for All Out. If that proves to be true, maybe we'll look at doing one there.
When do you think they'll come to the West Coast?
I don't know, man. You know, last I heard, it was like a logistical thing of how they were going to figure out how to sort of route the shows and do a pay-per-view. So they would have to do, from what I understood, they'd have to do TV maybe in like Texas or something like that on their way to California. But what the hell do I know about 18-wheelers and trucking sets and all that?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's enough big cities in the West for them to run. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Conrad, how's Alabama looking for next year?
Great, man. We just had a hell of a recruiting class. I hear that the quarterback that we just picked up, who's coming to us from the West Coast, is supposed to be even better than Tua. So we'll see if that's going to prove to be true. But I think what the number I heard was we got 22 out of the 26 recruits we really wanted. Of course, all four or five stars. So should be poised for a big year.
Why do you think Don Enos didn't do the great job he was able to do in Alabama and Miami because he didn't have the correct quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps, you know, I feel like Miami just hasn't had enough talent. It feels like everybody else has been siphoning off the great talent from Florida. For years and years, it felt like, you know, if you wanted to dominate college sports, if you could be number one in recruiting in California, Texas, and Florida, you were loaded for bear. But it feels like all those kids are deciding to go somewhere else. Nobody's sticking around Florida. And when I was growing up, man, the U was the place to be. And I hope that return to prominence can still happen again, because it was just fun, you know, because those guys had a reputation for, you know, having swag before swag was a thing.
I get hot because in the state of Miami, which, as you know, Howard Schnellenberger coined, everybody in Miami used to stay there. And now you see they go to all these other great, all these other schools and they blow up. And that's one of the big problems we're having, keeping, you know, the Miami kids at Miami.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me. I mean, I understand, that those guys want to play on a bigger level. And that's the way Saban recruits. You know, I mean, his entire pitch is, here's how many kids I have in the NFL, and here's what they're making this year, and here's what they made last year. And if you want a piece of that, you need to come play here. So that's a compelling argument. But, you know, from a 19-year-old perspective, if I could live in Miami or I could live in Tuscaloosa, no-brainer.
I got a question for you, Conrad. I thought this season specifically kind of highlighted some of the problems that the BCS, the playoffs have right now. Because, like, you see more of a groundswell of people that wanted to go to 18s and stuff. Like that. I got to admit, bro, let me tell you something. Alabama's resume this year does not look good on paper. Like they did not beat one single top 25 team. And the fact that, like, they were in it on reputation alone, like, until the last, like, in right at the end. Here are my problems. Is that we still rank teams preseason, so we're judging them on reputation, okay? And my problem has always been with the BCS, that college football is literally the only sport at any level from peewee to the NFL where there's not a clear path to the championship that you know of before the season starts. It's they kind of make it up as you go along. There's still ranking team. We vote on which teams we think are going on and stuff like that. So this is my question to you. Do you see, and then like this would be my idea of the way college football should progress going forward, is that the conference championship games are playoff games. If you do not win your conference championship game, you do not go to the playoffs. Okay? And number two, shouldn't conference championship games for the top five teams be automatic bids to the playoffs? So, like, you know, because that's the thing, because the clear path to the championship is like, okay, let's win your college, win your conference championship game, and you go to the playoffs. So I'm seeing, like, if you take the big five and three wild cards, you could do an 18 playoff. Are you satisfied with the way they do it now, or would you want to see this thing changed?
I look at it at the end, and I say, hey, did they get it right? And it would be hard for me to argue that the best four teams aren't playing in the playoff right now. And that hurts me as an Alabama fan, but realistically – they got it right, you know. So
okay, I said they didn't get it right. Because here's another thing that I would say about about going on preseason reputation, okay, or basically the incumbent champion. Why is Clemson not the number one seed?
Okay,
that's what I'll say. They're the defending championship, and they haven't lost a game. It's like, you show me another sport where the defending champion wins all of his fight, you know, and then loses his ranking. It's just a very bizarre concept to me.
Well, it shouldn't be bizarre, because in this particular situation, you had a bunch of kids from Clemson go to the pros. And so you take a look at who left and who were the players and the playmakers last year, and you reassess. And whoever put that ranking out, you know, and voted on that, decided that, hey, Alabama retained more of their talent than maybe Clemson did, and that's how they came up with it. But you were saying they didn't get it right, and then you started quoting preseason. I'm not saying where we started. I'm saying where we finished. Who should have been in the playoff in the last four this year that wasn't?
No, they got the four teams right. I don't think they got the rankings right.
Oh, who cares about the rankings, bro? It's about the playoffs.
I'm aware it's about the playoffs, but like you're still like, you know, there's four teams, but there's kind of three teams that are clearly a step above the fourth team. Like, just this is all perception. Like, it's all the things.
Bro, like, but the best four teams are in there. He's correct. I mean,
that's true. That is correct. Okay.
We'll argue just to argue argument's sake.
I think
you know a lot of people like that yourself.
It's my point. Okay. And as I say, I still think that the committee said we have to get the SEC champion into that final game to clear his path because they got the most fans.
This is what I will say. Conrad, but wouldn't you also say, isn't something a little bit weird, perverse, that, you know, it's almost like college football? And remember, I used to hate this. I thought this was bullshit. And I don't know if this ever happened to Alabama or to Georgia, but it did happen to Miami. Remember that year where Miami tied Washington and they were like national co-champions?
Yep.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Okay, so to me, it's like they've always had their own way of doing things, and it almost seems like they just can't get in step with, like Disco said, the easiest way to do it is like you do everything else in fucking brackets, like they do in football, NCAA, baseball, everything. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to do it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect system out there, you know, and I know that I agree with you. I never want to see a co-champion thing again, you know, where it's split. But, I mean, you go way back to the 70s, and that's just the way things were done even back then. I know what you're talking about was like 90 or 91, but in the 70s, Alabama was claiming national titles, and they didn't even win their bowl game. So, you know, and I'm a Bammer, so I can admit that, but it's just like we're so far better than we used to be. That, you know, I don't think this is a perfect system, no, but I do sort of root for chaos every year. I thought it would have been tremendous if there would have been absolute utter chaos with Auburn and Georgia and then the SEC championship game getting screwy. But none of that really happened, and it just happened exactly as we expected. And I'm curious what you think, you know, you expect to see this Saturday night.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Let's get to the prediction.
Okay, let me just say one last thing. You say there is no perfect system. I like the system they have in football and baseball and basketball. You got your fucking division winners, and you got some wild cards.
Well, if we're going to talk sports, would you mind if I added Simon Diamond to the mix right now?
Oh, let's get him in here. Because this is a good discussion. We're gonna do our predictions for this weekend. Get him in here. Connor, have you ever met Simon Diamond before?
Who?
I have not.
Interesting.
Work back in the day, but no, I've never actually ran across him.
Oh, interesting. You'll like this.
Big, world big, infamous disco list.
Connor, do you watch pro football? Are you pro football or just college?
Yeah, I watch it, but you know, I'm not as emotionally invested, of course.
Right. What do you think about who's Alabama playing this year? Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting. The last time we played them was Brady's last game. It was Sean Alexander's senior year and Brady's last game, and then they both went into the draft. And, well, Brady did a little better than old Sean Alexander did after that.
Bro, it's hard for me to see Alabama actually ranked 13th.
Is this Pat? Hello?
Pat is on the line.
Pat, is that your daughter?
Hello?
Hello, is this Pat's daughter?
Excuse me?
Who is that, Pat?
My son, Grace.
It's your son. I thought you had a daughter. You have a son?
I have a son and a daughter. Two kids.
And what's his name?
Bryce.
Pat. So right now we're starting up hot here. We've got Conrad on, and we've done the last 10 minutes on college football talk, and now we're getting to this weekend's games. Okay.
Okay.
First of all, did you want to? So the question was, do you think this is the basic question? Do you think the committee got it right so far?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I disagree because I thought Clemson should still be the number one seed because they're an incumbent champion.
Well, are you still? I mean, if you're looking at resume, LSU had to send his resume. If you're going by the past two seasons, Clemson's undefeated. They're defending national champions. They should be number one. But, and, you know, it's going to take care of itself because you got to win 2 weeks. So it's going to take care of itself.
Pat, meet Conrad Thompson. Conrad, this is Pat Kenny.
Nice to meet you, Con, sir.
Conrad, it's a pleasure. I know you're an Alabama alum. Sorry about the demise of Nick Saban, but that guy... if it makes you feel any better, I'm a Notre Dame fan. So, you know, if you need remedies on how to cure your ill, if you need a hug, next time I see you, I'll give you a big hug.
I look forward to it. But you'll have to say Simon Says first, or I'll know.
Without a doubt.
Okay, so what predictions were we going to get here, D.I.?
All right, I'm predicting, so let's do the first, let's do the 2-3 seed. Clemson versus Ohio State. Bro, this is, I think this is the two best teams. But that's just my opinion. So we have to settle it on the field, right? Because I could be wrong. Oklahoma could win this thing. Anybody can win this thing. But I'm just really invested in the narrative right now where Clemson started off very flat because you got an incumbent champion. They know they're going to they look at their schedule. They know they're going to be in the playoff. They're flat for the first five, six, 7 weeks of the season. And just at some point, they just said, all right, let's start playing. Quarterback turned it around. And now they won like, what, six games by like 40 something? This is some ridiculous statistic. I just like the narrative that they feel that they've been disrespected here. And they've got motivation going into this. As much as I think Ohio State is great, and this is the best thing is about these playoffs. We've got the four best, with the exception of two as are hurt, but actively right now, the four best quarterbacks. And it seems to show you in college football, good coach plus good quarterback, you're probably going to be in the mix. You know, like at least during the season for a playoff chance. I just think all these games are going to be high-scoring games because these guys can just move the ball against anybody. But I just like Clemson with more experience here. I think Clemson beats Ohio State. What do you guys think?
I have to agree 100%. Clemson was sleepwalking through the season, and then when the committee dropped them, they woke up from their slumber, and Trevor Lawrence will show why he is the best pro prospect in college football. I love Chase Young. He's probably the best college football player. Should be the number one draw pick. That'll be interesting to see if Clemson has an answer for him, because you have to account for it every time, every place, everywhere that he lines up. But I still think Clemson, with their wide receivers, is going to give Ohio State some problems, and it'll be high school. I like Clemson.
How about you, Connor?
Who do you got?
So I'm going the other way, man. I think Ohio State's going to get the nod here. Who's the betting favorite on that? Do we know?
Clemson's like a 1.5-point favorite.
Clemson's 1.5, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is as close as it's going to get. You know, of our two playoff games, this will be the nail-biter. I don't think the other one will. But I'm going to Ohio State, and I think this is the year that Clemson is exposed in the playoffs.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to go with Clemson on experience. Also, I thought, you know, Wisconsin made them look very vulnerable in that Big Ten championship. And another thing, everybody was always talking about how great their defensive backs were until that guy from Michigan got a hold of them and just ran all over. So I'm going to go with, I think Trevor Lawrence eats them up, and it will be a high-scoring game.
Okay, LSU and Oklahoma. I'm pretty sure everybody's going to pick LSU, but I got a bet here. I'm taking Oklahoma in the points. I think
what's your spread?
I think it's like 12.
Yeah, it's like 12.5 or 13.5.
I just like Jalen. I like this narrative. Jalen Hurts has got a chip on his shoulder here. He plays hard. They've been down big in games, and he just keeps – you know, he doesn't quit. That offense is explosive. They're going to get scored on. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But I just think maybe familiarity with the SEC that Jalen Hurts has kind of here. It's like, you know, that they might be able to pick some holes and find some spots in LSU's defense to score some points. But to me, the best player I've seen this year, I'll disagree with you, Pat, is that I don't know how you could think that Trevor Lawrence is a better pro prospect than Joe Burrow.
He's a better pro prospect. Joe Burrow right now is a better player. But you got to remember, Trevor Lawrence is a sophomore. He still has another year because his combination of size and his uncanny ability not to be frazzled in the pocket when I watch him, it's almost like I'm watching a clone of Peyton Manning. And we all saw how his career turned out. Burrow, I think there may be a question mark or two because – hey, is it the system that LSU's running? That's always a possibility because he was pretty much an enigma up to this point. Lawrence, as a freshman, showed pretty much everybody, wow, this kid's, you know, special. But I like what I agree. Again, I mean, kill me for saying this, I agree with what you say. The narrative's tremendous. If I'm booking this thing, Jalen Hurts leads Oklahoma to the national championship over Clemson, and then cut the skating promo on Saban and
yes.
And Conrad, he throws your name in the mix because you're an Alabama up.
Why not?
And then he turns and he clotheslines Dabo because Dabo went to Alabama. And you go off. And that's how you go off. It's major heat. And then now you got.
JR does commentary on the whole thing.
Conrad.
Not since he stabbed himself today. No.
What did he do today?
His daughter got him a set of knives, and he went to unwrap them and accidentally just tore his hands and stomach up somehow with them. So
are you serious?
I saw that. I texted him, but I haven't talked to him on the phone to see he's okay. But he is okay.
That's another story lined out. Now Oklahoma's going to get killed. Like, all the fans are fumbling over themselves. They're stabbing themselves. They can't, you know, they're right over their heads. I don't know. I think there's some good storylines in this playoff. Just some good, like you said, the Jalen Hurts, everything. There's a good narrative. And all these, like, and that's the one thing college football does right, is regardless of, like, how many crappy games you see during the year and blowouts and stuff, their national championship game is like easily one of the top two or three best games of the year, usually. Like last year wasn't, but like every year it's just like, wow, this, it's, these games are incredible. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's, hey, listen, if LSU wins, you have to listen to Eddie O cut his promo. That's a tremendous promo. If Dabo wins it, he cuts a great promo. Riley's a little dry, and the guy from Ohio State's a little dry, but, you know, it's going to be phenomenal.
I do like the promo that Burrow cut when he won the Heisman and putting over
tremendous.
The LSU coach, too, and the system and everything.
How do you think Ole Miss feels right now? They had Ed O, and now they got Lane Kiffin.
Oh, it's tremendous. I don't even live down here, but this is the best thing that's happened to the SEC ever. I mean, I'm so glad that he's back. I'm way on the Lane train. I may actually start pulling for Ole Miss next year. I'm such a big Lane Kiffin fan.
That's true.
In my distorted Notre Dame world, I always envisioned him on the sidelines at Notre Dame and every administrator having a heart attack at every tweet he puts out, because I think that would be absolutely just box office gold. Lane Kiffin, Notre Dame, he'd rub everybody the wrong way there. It would be tremendous.
He's a wrestling character. It's tremendous. I love him.
Everything's pro wrestling, Conrad. Always remember that.
Absolutely.
Well, what was Notre Dame's record this year, Pat?
10-2, much like I predicted.
Really? Was it 10-2?
Yeah, 10-2.
Who are you guys playing in the bowl?
Iowa State in the Camping World Bowl.
Camping World
Bowl? It's basically...
The Camping Bowl? But Notre Dame's... you're 10-2 and you're not in a New Year's Day game?
No, because of the tie-ins that Notre Dame... Because they're an independent...
That's hysterical. That's fantastic.
The tie-ins they have are tied up in the playoffs.
Okay, here's another thing, too. You can't do this anymore. When your team loses and we are trying to call you, you have to answer the phone. That's part of your contract for working here at App.
Yeah, but what if
I'm part of the Keep 100 podcast? Because you try to ignore us every time they do bad. Huh? Yes, you did. We try to call you, you didn't answer the phone. Yeah, you have a contract with us.
Because I'm busy.
You got to honor your contract.
He's busy.
You might have to resend that contract out to my attorneys. We cheat him in the house.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question.
Can I just say one thing real quick? Do you pop, Conrad, that before there was really just like the orange, the rolls, remember there were just like four bowls, right? And
right,
now
yeah.
You have like the Camping Bowl, the Music City Bowl, the fucking Armed Forces Bowl, listen to this one, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I mean, what is going on?
Let me tell you this. Let me see if you guys agree with this. If Conrad and everybody agrees with this, even though the playoff is the best, is way better than the previous thing, I do miss the anticipation of the New Year's Day games. I just thought, the New Year's Day is just not like it used to be, where you're like, I gotta stay in tonight because I gotta wake up early in the morning. I'm not going out on New Year's Eve because I wanna watch all the games with my friends tomorrow. I just don't feel that anymore. What do you guys think?
The first game was an 11 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
It just rolled from there, and it didn't stop until the Sugar Bowl was over, like around midnight. It was a full day.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was phenomenal.
It's like now that the playoff is like a UFC card, but like the New Year's Day is like fight night. You know, it's like I just don't feel it. What about you, Conrad? Is New Year's Day still big, or do you just like, it's like, yeah?
No, I'm okay with it. You know, I feel like we're stretching it out, and it feels more like WrestleMania weekend now, where you get a little bit every day for like 4 or 5 days. I'm for it, especially with it being a game on a weeknight, because for the past year or so, or decade or so, that's been like a state holiday. So I get to have a half-assed Monday and a half-assed Tuesday. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I would have rather them, I'll be honest, I would have rather them just keep the two playoff games on New Year's Day and make them the last two games of the day, or just like put it, you know, make it a part of the New Year's spectacle.
That's what they did the first year, and it was great.
No, the first year, remember they went on New Year's Eve for some inexplicable reason. Remember?
Yeah, and then wasn't it the next year it was New Year's Day?
Something like that. It was just, I don't know, the first year they went on New Year's Eve, it was like, what are you guys doing? But people go out on New Year's Eve, like, you know, and like they change it immediately. But like I'd rather be on New Year's Day. I think New Year's Day is still like that thing where, you know, I'm old school. I like to wake up and, you know, like the first game's at 8 o'clock in the morning out here. It's like, I don't know. And I miss that, so. What else you guys got? Pat, you got anything? Oh, by the way, I hope Garrett Cole stinks this year. Okay. So, let me tell you something. Okay.
I love it.
Why do you love it?
I'm going to tell you why. First is, number one, like, if you guys don't realize this because you live in a part of the country where everyone hates the Yankees, but I live in a part of the country where, like, everyone loves the Yankees. It's either Yankees or Mets. And some of my friends who are Mets fans were telling me, like, you know, oh, this Yankee team's likable. I don't like that. Those Yankees need to be the villains, and they haven't been the villains lately with this homegrown talent. Now that they've gone out and flexed their muscle and their wealth and their, you know, lavish riches, they're hated again. And that's how it should be. That's why I love it. Number two, they had to go out and do it because they've hit their ceiling. They've shown what they can do without signing big-name free agents. Well, guess what? You didn't win the World Series. And in New York, if you don't win the World Series, that's a failure. So pony up. Pony up and giddy up. And that's what they did.
I'm not for that. Connor, are you a baseball fan?
No, of course not. You're not allowed to like baseball in Alabama.
But Huntsville, Alabama. Oh, come on. That's Braves.
What do they like in Alabama?
It's Braves country. If you could drive to Atlanta, you like the Braves.
Here's the deal. We're getting excited about
go ahead, Connor.
Auburn baseball. Dude, nobody keeps up on Auburn baseball here. That's like ordering a turkey omelet at Waffle House. That's not happening. Here's the deal, though. We are excited about, in Huntsville, we're getting a minor league team. And, you know, the gimmick with those now is it's all about merchandise. So our new team name is the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
What?
Yeah.
That's
okay. Hey, Cal, wait. What is a first of all, what is a trash panda?
A raccoon.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So the Rocket City Raccoons, we call them Trash Pandas.
Well, yeah, they're called the Rocket City Trash Pandas. But the other thing...
Dez, you know that in the year 2019, that PETA or some organization is going to come out where that is demeaning to the raccoon or, you know, associate them with, like, you should throw them in the trash or something. I predict that name is going to fall to the curse of the social justice warriors. What do you think?
Well, that would suck. I hope not.
I want to see if I'm going to go up and see if you can find merchandise for this team yet. Dave, merch already?
I love how the minor league teams always have minor league names like that.
Yep.
Trash Panda. Like, I went the other day to do a signing in Richmond for a baseball team. They were called the Squirrel. Richmond. Yeah, Flying Squirrels.
The Squirrels.
Okay.
Yeah, they were the Richmond Braves when I was at VCU.
Listen to some of these other names. The Pensacola Blue Wahoos, the Hillsbury Hops, the Tri-City Valley Cats. Tremendous names.
Okay, I'm looking at one of these t-shirts with the Rocket City Trash Pandas. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. It has a picture. Let me tell you this. It's a picture of a raccoon in a trash can sticking his head, and then the lid is like a hat. That's the picture.
Like Oscar
that's
the Grouch.
Yeah. So you're gonna, Carmen, you gonna wear that?
Wait, what is it called?
Hang on.
Alabama what?
The Rocket City Trash Pandas. Right? We're on your Google machine. Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You know what we should have done? Here's the thing, little known fact. I pitched that we put the Trash Panda in some orange bell bottoms and make him shake his ass like an asshole with a pompadour. Nobody bit. No buys.
Why didn't you put the guy? Why didn't you put the raccoon in the houndstooth hat? That's what they should have done.
Well, because that's sort of that's not something that can be unanimous here. I'm close enough to Tennessee, where some people are volunteers to be losers, of course, and I'm close enough to Auburn, where there are some people who have been brainwashed their whole life. So, Trash Panthers won the vote.
Comrade, I got to ask you this: as an Alabama guy, the Bear or Saban?
Oh, Saban all day.
Okay. Wow, over Bear Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, Bear was like, I mean, I was three when Bear died, so I don't know shit about Bear Bryant other than he wore a funny hat and won a bunch of games. I'm a Saban guy.
I don't know if you could say that in public in a lot of places, Conrad.
My dad is like giving me the most evil stink eye ever right now.
I met your dad at one of these StarCast things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, please punch Conrad for insubordination.
Oh, good.
Conrad.
Yes, sir.
What are you? Is there anything that you're watching besides AEW?
Oh, no, yeah, I'm watching WWE, and I'm still catching some New Japan and Ring of Honor and MLW. I'm not watching it every single week, but, you know, I saw some of the fun stuff they did on Impact a few weeks ago, and I dug that. And I fast-forward through Raw and SmackDown, but I slowed down enough to catch it, and I saw Rhea Ripley win the title the other night, and that was a cool moment. And
what about NWA?
Yeah, I have seen some of that. I watched their whole pay-per-view start to finish. I haven't watched any Power
start to finish. What'd you think, Conrad? What'd you think?
I thought it was good, especially based on the length. I thought the length of the show was good. It wasn't something that felt like it was a chore to get through. I did think, you know, there's some spots that maybe they'll work on a little bit and improve. But it was a nice first effort. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Give me
how great is the studio look and feel that
tremendous.
Makes the, and I told Billy that this past weekend. I said your biggest issue will be this studio, because eventually there will come a time where they will either want to grow or someone else will want them to grow. And the first thing they're going to say is, we can sell more tickets.
Yeah.
And that studio is, it makes it different. Everyone else says we're going to be different. And then you turn it on, you go, okay. Well, as soon as you turn this thing on, you go, okay, that's different. I mean, I grew up with Georgia Championship Wrestling, and that's exactly what it looks like to me.
The star of that show is the studio, and everybody else will catch up, but you're drawn to exactly what you said. This is different, and that's what catches your eye more so than a singular talent. It's not to be dismissive of the talent or say they don't have good talent. I'm just saying the studio is the draw, at least right now for me.
No, and you make a very good point when you say everybody says they're different, but you basically see the same thing but in a different manner.
You see the same
the
thing.
Studio is that's great. Because not only does it remind all of us who grew up with that type of wrestling, but the new fans who have never seen that, and it looks cool with the flags and the bold letters and, you know, everything's old school.
And also, here's the other key component, and I've noticed this being there for 3 days. That studio basically eliminates guys from wrestling for the decibel level to change, because that's what everyone does today in wrestling. They wrestle for the decibel level to change. They're looking for the pop of the move. That place holds, I don't know, a couple hundred. It's not going to, it doesn't change that much. So you actually have to go out there and work through your character and storytelling to get a reaction. Because the decibel level doesn't change. So it basically handcuffs the boys in a positive way.
I'll tell you what, too. I used to attend the Georgia Championship Wrestling. I've been in the studio as a fan a couple times, right? The one thing the studio thing I like about it is the fans know if you're loud enough that they can hear you specifically.
Yeah.
Like in that atmosphere, so it's like it kind of like, and if you watch old Ric Flair interviews, like from Georgia Championship Wrestling, and he would say something.
Someone out in the crowd.
Well, no, the ladies would be like, well, like saying stuff out loud that they wouldn't be heard. You know, like you can hear the ladies like talk about Ric Flair, like, you know, while he's talking. So that's the thing I love about it, is that ambiance where you hear somebody cutting a promo and it's cutting right to the heart of a fan, and that fan is like yelling right back at you immediately. You can hear the emotion. That's what I like about it. You know, it's like good. It's like an honest fan reaction. Instead of being part of a big crowd, you know, where you just get drowned out.
I remember Dusty Rhodes would do that too. And he called out some fat girl once, which I thought was hilarious. And he, let me ask you a question, Conrad and Pat. What are your favorite two or three or four, whatever, storylines from this year or performers from any promotion?
Wow. Things you like. Go ahead, Conrad.
The best match I saw live was Cody and Dustin in Vegas. I mean, that was outstanding. I think that was the best match. As far as the best story...
And great promo, too.
Oh, yeah, it was really good promo. I don't know about the best story. I'd have to think about that. But the best match, that just jumps off at me. It was Cody and Dustin. And I don't know if it was the blood or the promos or...
Maybe
it was just the emotion in the crowd. But the crowd was so into it, and because the crowd was into it, I was more into it than I even expected to be.
Now, what performers have you enjoyed watching in across the board in whatever promotion it may be?
I think Andrade's coming into his own. He wasn't on my radar at all last year. For obvious reasons, I started paying more attention, and I was impressed. Rhea Ripley's got my attention in a big way. I think Darby Allin's presentation from AEW has been really cool. They've done a great job making him feel like a big deal. As silly as some people would say it is, I really enjoyed the question mark stuff that they've got Josephus doing in the NWA. I mean, just that the idea that the crowd is that with it has been a lot of fun.
What about you, Pat?
Interesting. Performer-wise, I'd say the two guys that have really jumped off the page, number one, Jericho, who's basically head and shoulders above everybody right now. It's because he now has that flair Austin Rock style where he can jump in and out of being entertaining, funny, serious, condescending, and no matter what he doesn't step out of his character, nor does he ever lose any credibility. And his performance has been phenomenal. And then I say this is kind of a dark horse, is Nick Aldis, I think, has really elevated not only himself as a main event guy, but he's also carried that NWA title and made it mean something again. And it's, you know, nothing short of a phenomenal story for a group that doesn't have TV. I think match-wise, I have to agree with Conrad because I did see it. I didn't see it live or as it happened. I saw it much later. But that Cody-Dustin match just had all the elements of a old-school match that really, really, really touched me because that, you know, that's the style that I grew up with.
I'll tell you the one thing that my most memorable thing from this year has been, and it's going to be a weird answer, is the Lana Bobby Lashley Rusev storyline. And the reason is because it's been so critically buried. It's a very bizarre angle, but I like the fact that the detail that's been put into it, though, it's like literally one of the only soap opera episodic storylines that has gone on for an extended period of time that we've seen this year. Like, this is like, how many weeks of TV did they start this with? Like how many weeks of, like, every single week they progressed this story, like just adding layers of it, like, every single week? Like, when did they start this? Like eight, 9 weeks ago?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
But think about that. Let's go
for more than that.
More than that. Now, let's think of a year of television. Has there been an angle that's gone on longer than this on TV?
No.
Why, as brutal as people think it's been, they have come up with a different element to the story every single week. And it's like, I haven't seen that. And it's like, that's what we grew up on, wrestling like this, where every week there's like, you know, guys are in angles where it's an 8 to 12 week storyline. And they build up to that. It's like a 3 month build. You know, that, you know, it shows you the formula can still, you know, as bad as like some of the promos have been, the story told has been good enough to where I think that you're going to have a pretty good heel and a pretty good baby face coming out of this, that everybody's going to be elevated. Would you guys agree with that?
The other thing is you don't know who the winner and loser is going to be. That's
right.
The other key.
Yeah.
It's not predictable.
Hey, is that predictable? It's like, the execution's been kind of bizarre, like puzzling about it. But even storytelling, like, this is professional wrestling. Like this is the way it's supposed to go. Every week you just do something else, you know?
Yeah, I would use that word bizarre. It hasn't been one of my favorite storylines. I've been a big fan of everything The Fiend has done, and I was a big fan of the fact that they took such a humongous risk on that Funhouse Playhouse with the puppets and all that. And I just like the way that, you know, that's come about. Now he's doing something with Miz, right? He went into his house and they had that little baby camera and all that. So I've been a big fan of what The Fiend's been doing. I like that stuff. So we've got some other people that are going to come on for this Christmas show. Pat, let people know where they can find you and bury you. And I hope that somebody rips up that sign that he brought to the Yankee signing from when he was 10 years old. I hope somebody rips, burns that up, and then closes.
That's a great heat. That was a great heat spot.
Yeah, that's got mega heat with me.
I as soon as I saw it, I knew it was going to be heat with you, which even made me pop even more with it, because I knew it was just it turning in your crawl that you're going to have to watch this guy trot out there at Fenway and shove it up the Red Sox ass for the next 9 years. But you can find it at I'm Ed Heavy.
That's a tremendous Christmas message for me. Yeah.
It is. It is, hey, Merry Christmas, and Garrett Cole's going to shove it up your ass. Happy holidays. From the Yankees.
Thank you, Pat. Merry Christmas. Conrad.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, guys. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Conrad, is he
yes,
still
sir.
Here?
Yes, yeah, sir. Yeah.
Where can we find you? Where can people chop it up with you? Put over your podcast, everything, my brother.
Check it out. I'm on Twitter. Hey, it's Conrad. You can also follow me on Instagram. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson. I've got 5 different podcasts. Hard to keep up with all of them. I'll plug them here, but just check it out on Westwood One, or just follow me on Twitter, and you'll see it all there. Hey, it's Conrad.
Well, real quick, I'll plug them for you. One is Bruce Pritchard, right? What's that called? Yeah, Something to Wrestle.
Something to Wrestle on right. Friday, and then on Thursday, we'll work backwards at Skrill and JR with Jim Ross. On Wednesday, right. It's What Happened When with Tony Schiavone. Right. On Tuesday, it's Arn with Arn Anderson. And on right. Monday, we get things kicked off with 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff.
Okay, which of those 5 would you say you've had the most arguments with on the air?
Eric Bischoff. Yeah, no comparison. Matt would argue with you about the color of the sky just because he enjoys the discourse.
Well, discos are Eric Bischoff. Just so you know, bro, we got to bring you on so we can chop up some other stuff. So we'll bring you back next month if you're free, Conrad.
Yeah.
All right.
Be glad to, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you and your dad. I hope your dad knocks you out if you ever talk about Bear Bryant again. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks,
Conrad.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.